Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama, as we continue our special coverage of the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament sponsored by Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Stores, Southern Equipment and Parts. Really appreciate them, as well as all of the great Eagle Hour sponsors, and too many to mention at one time, but we're very grateful for everybody's support. Glad to be back with you today. Golden Eagles set to take the field in, I guess, a few hours. We're waiting now for the game between James Madison and Louisiana. Joining us to kick off the show today, and we could not be happier, our athletics director, Jeremy McClain. Jeremy, welcome back. Thank you, as always.
Thank you guys for having me, and appreciate the opportunity to visit.
All right. And I know you're not going to say this, but as a very high-level college pitcher yourself, you must have really liked yesterday.
It was a joy to watch that outing by Billy and Scobie behind him. But just to kind of see Billy control the entire game was really special. And you're right. I have a great appreciation for that kind of outing. And not only was it a joy to watch and came at a critical time, obviously, for us, but I think it, you know, he did exactly what we needed to do from a, you know, if you were scripting out the week, you know, the week from a pitching standpoint, for him to go seven innings and Kobe to come in and throw 25, 26 pitches or whatever it was, you know, I think that sets us up well for the rest of the week. But it was a joy to watch. Man, I kind of told him after the game that was, you know, that was as good as I've seen in quite some time.
What makes him so good, Jeremy?
I think Billy, you know, does a couple things. Well, number one, he does something I really like, which is you don't ever see him get kind of emotional either way. Like he's very even keel, which for me, I think as a starter, I think you have to be. The successful ones, I think, show that same quality. I think Billy does a great job of commanding both sides of the plate. If you watch him throw, you just watch how many times he locates a fastball in when he needs to. And in the college game, there's not enough guys that can do that. And so from a hitter's perspective, the fact that Billy can go out there and really dot, you know, put his fastball wherever he needs it, and then he's got a plus, or, you know, really good changeup, and a good breaking ball. And so you kind of put those things together, you know, when he's locating that fastball, he has a chance to make it really difficult on anybody.
He's been quite a find for this program, hasn't he?
Yes. So, you know, and of course he came to us from Division III institution where he'd had a lot of success. You know, if I think about his journey last year, you know, when he got here, I think we started him out of the bullpen and brought him in relief a few times. And, you know, he had a good outing and not so good outing and a good outing. It just kind of was a filling out process. And then he worked his way into the starting rotation. And then, you know, you look up and at the end of the year, he's starting the first game of the Super Regional against Tennessee and pitching great and winning that ball game. And so it's been fun to watch that happen and watch him kind of embrace the culture, embrace the coaching, you know, from you know, I think us, you know, if our folks are listening, I think they probably agree with this. He's as good as anybody in the country from getting guys from being really good to being great. And I think Billy certainly is an example of that. And Billy has embraced that and just worked really hard to fine-tune his craft. And it's, you know, and it's paid off.
You know, I've always said this, and I said this last year, which is why I think they went to him against Tennessee in that game one. Do you feel like he just throws better against teams that hit the ball well? I feel like some of his outings that he might not have had his best stuff is some of the teams that slap the ball around, try to scratch runs. But against a Coastal Carolina to shut them out with that offense, Tennessee, as you mentioned, and a couple other times this year. I mean, I remember in the last game against Coastal, he had a career high in strikeouts, similar last night.
I think you're spot on, but I think it's actually the reverse. I think teams that are really strong offensively normally love – they don't mind velocity, but they like to get the ball in the middle of the play where they can really drive it. And what Billy does a great job of is what we just talked about, is moving the ball around and locating pitches, especially his fastball. And so, a Tennessee or a Coastal or whoever it may be, I'll use the SEC teams, for example, Auburn last year where he threw great against them too. Mm-hmm. They're seeing 93 to 96 every weekend.
Yeah.
And so, but what they aren't seeing is guys who can really, really pitch. And so I think that, to your point, I think the matchup there for Billy against some of those lineups, that's why it's worked well, because he really pitches, and it's not something they see a whole lot of.
Yeah, and the changeup is at less than 80 miles an hour.
Yeah. So you got this, you got this kind of plus-minus action happen a lot, and he does a great job of that. And, again, it's just not something those guys are seeing a lot of. We kind of live in this environment in college baseball right now where velocity is king, and so – but the flip side of that is kind of everybody's throwing 93, 90 to 96 now. And so these hitters are seeing it all the time. And velocity trumps command and some other things a lot of times. But back to that point, I think that's what makes Billy effective against those types of programs, is that that's not something they're seeing on a regular basis. It's somebody who can really locate, somebody who can change speeds at that, at that level.
And then when you think of Mazza, he has that velocity, but then he, like you're saying, he places the ball in the strike zone that you don't see a lot in an SEC school.
Yeah, I think Nico's, he does a great job. Of course, excited about watching him throw today. He's been great all year. I think Nico's the same way. I think he has learned to throw on the inner half of the plate as well as a year. We've seen more of that from him this year, and I think it's really paid off for him. I think some of the times when he's been really dominant is when he's been able to command both sides of the plate, and then his secondary stuff is really, really good and can play anywhere. And so same kind of thing. I think Oss does a really good job of making sure that, we're going to throw the secondary stuff in any count, in any time. We're going to be confident in what we're doing. And, you're not going to be on the mound if you can't do that, especially as a starter. And so I think that, back to your point, I think sometimes that gives people a hard time.
It's fun talking to you about baseball because you're a baseball guy. What makes Oz so special?
Oh, man. Of course, I've known him for a long time and watched him coach for a long time. I think the thing that it makes him unique, especially as we think about pitchers, but now the team as a whole, is that he works to get the best out of his players. And what I mean by that is not just physically, but the mental approach. And he's a big believer in the mental side of the game. And so that's something that gets talked about a lot. It's something that they try to do a good job of making sure guys understand and are able to get their arms around. And I would agree with that 100%. I think this game is mostly mental. And if you can figure that part of it out, especially as a young guy, you begin to reach your full potential. For guys who don't ever get there, they just are not able to reach that level. But so I think that's what he does really well. He challenges his guys. He works very hard on the mental aspect with his players and trying to make sure how they approach things, whether it's at bats or starts or coming out of the bullpen, that mental piece for him is really important, and I think that's what pays off.
You never hesitated when it came time to pick a successor.
No, I think it became pretty apparent. Of course, again, Christian and I have known each other for a long time, and I was not here when he came back in 2016, but he and I talked before he made the decision. He wanted my opinion on it. But when I got back here and I watched him interact with our team and I watched he and Scott interact, and, for those first few years, it became really apparent to me that he was going to be the next guy. I mean, it just became obvious that he was ready, and Scott trusted him, and certainly I kind of knew the background, his background, and that was an easy part. And so, yeah, it really was a very easy decision, and the fact that – I think it was a decision that took place over the course of several years.
I think it's a testament that Ostrander turned down several jobs to stay here to be the head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, without sharing too many personal conversations, I will just tell you and tell our folks that in no uncertain terms, he told me, this is where I want to be. And, you know, I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, love this place, and I want to see us reach, you know, the highest level we can possibly reach. And so you're exactly right. This was always where he wanted to be.
He's done a phenomenal job. 70% of the roster gone. It's really, no matter what happens this weekend, I just think that everyone should be really, really impressed with his first season.
I would agree with you, Bob. And I think, too, you know, our expectations are certainly high here with our program, and sometimes we can get spoiled by that. But to your point, I mean, you can kind of look around the country at teams that have had to replace a lot of people and kind of look at how that works for them. And then you look at what we've been able to do this year. And I knew going into the year that we had a lot of new faces. And it was going to take some time to figure some things out and guys to find their role. And I just think they did a great job of continuing to work through that. And you know, there were some tough stretches for sure. But I don't think they ever wavered from what they believed in. And it is a testament to the staff and what they've done. And I think, too, it's a testament to how we've recruited. Because I just think that the talent level – you know, has remained at a really high level, and that goes to, you know, the process of identifying talent and being able to get it here on campus, and I think that is a big part of, you know, that reason we continue to be successful. I think it's also the reason that I'm really excited about what the next few years are going to bring.
We're talking to Athletics Director Jeremy McClain. We're going to continue our coverage of the Sun Belt 2024 baseball tournament for Montgomery on the other side of this break.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to Montgomery, Alabama, 2024 Sun Belt Baseball Tournament. James Madison and the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana on the field right now. That game just underway. Golden Eagles will take on Troy after this game. We've heard that song before, hadn't we,
yes,
Jeremy?
Yes, absolutely. We feel like we did that here this year. I mean, this past year. I feel like it's a little deja vu.
I think it's going to be a fist fight, too.
Absolutely. They're a really good ball club. They, you know, really, really offensive, can really swing against the scoring bunches. And so, you know, our pitching will, and I feel like they'll be up to the challenge, but it is a challenge.
Well, congratulations being elected to the Baseball Selection Committee. Quite a compliment to you and to the baseball program.
Well, I appreciate that. Certainly, I think it's a testament to our program and the success we've had. I'm excited about it. You know, it's an honor to kind of be in that position and have the opportunity to serve. I actually, you know, I was joking with someone earlier. I was actually selected to the committee in 2019 when I was at Troy. And 2 months after I was selected, I made the decision to come back to Southern Miss. So I had to give up the appointment. And so I never got to actually be in the meetings and be part of the committee. And so thankful to kind of get back on it and definitely excited about doing that as a Golden Eagle.
Well, before I ask you the next question, I will tell you there was a lot of Troy people up here this morning, and they told me that they were closet Southern Miss fans because of you. And I said, well, what about at 4:30? And unanimously they said no.
No, those Trojans, they're pretty committed. They're never going to do that. But there's a lot of really good people there. I had a great experience there and certainly – have a lot of friends that would be pulling against us today, and that's totally understandable. But a lot of friends there, and a lot of really good people. And I think we've been able to create a pretty good rivalry with Troy, in part because there's a lot of similarities, I think, between the places. Differences for sure, but a lot of similarities, and both fan bases very proud of the teams.
Before we touch base about that, I think that's a really good point about the Sun Belt. Clarify for our fan base, because I've seen it already. Just because you're on the committee doesn't mean we're guaranteed four Super Regionals.
No, it doesn't quite work that way. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit of the opposite. They'll once, you know, if the discussion about Southern Miss is going to take place, they'll ask me to leave the room, and I'll have to recuse myself. So yeah, I will not get to be involved in those discussions, but certainly that doesn't change the fact that I'm excited about serving and definitely doing whatever it takes to help college baseball.
What is that like to be recused? They just say, get out of the room.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Close your ears and get out.
Yeah, so I think the chair basically kind of looks at you and goes, hey, it's time for you to take a break.
And look at a cup of coffee.
Yeah, which, as you can imagine, there's multiple committee members that are impacted by that. You've got, you know, people kind of all over the place that have programs that are really successful. And so there's a lot of stepping out of the room that takes place.
So we're going to clarify that. There's no guarantees.
No guarantees, yeah. Okay. I wish that came with the opportunity. It doesn't quite work that way.
You know, you talk about rivalries with Troy. Every year now, the second year here, I sense this more and more now that you got us in the Sun Belt. We interact a lot with Jay Walker at Louisiana Lafayette. Great guy. Or the University of Louisiana, I'm sorry. I sense a rivalry there, a Troy rivalry, the South Alabama thing. It just seems to me, Jeremy, that we are in the perfect conference right now for who
we are. I think so. You know, and going into it, kind of having been in the Sun Belt and then coming back to Southern Miss, and once I was able to kind of evaluate what was going on around us, it didn't take me long to kind of figure out that was going to be a better fit for us if we could ever get there. Certainly the opportunity presented itself, and we were able to make it happen. But I think it's been a great fit for a lot of reasons. I think what you're talking about, the regional aspect of, you know, really caring about who you're competing against, and, you know, that we know people who go to school at Louisiana or South Alabama or Troy, or family members, or, you know, just the things that come with being a regional conference. I think those are things that have been really, really beneficial to us. And I think, too, that what I said about Troy is the same holds true for Louisiana and South Alabama. I think there's a whole lot more similarities than there are differences in the institutions, and I think that makes for a really good conference.
All right, we've got this tournament. Obviously, everybody's curious about the regionals. I don't think there's anything, if I'm wrong, tell me, but nothing you can share at this point. What are your thoughts about the regionals?
No, what I would tell you is I think we put ourselves in a good position. I'm always hesitant to, play that guessing game. And what I would remind people is that, you know, none of this happens in a vacuum. You know, if we go on a great run and win the tournament again, it may not really change anything for us because of what happens around you, right? So what you're doing is one piece of the puzzle. What people are doing in front of you when it comes to RPI and kind of how their tournaments are going, that's a big part of it as well. And so it's hard to say. But what I will say is I think by finishing the regular season the way we finished the second in a really, really good league, we put ourselves in a positive position. So at this point, all you can do is win the games in front of you and see what happens on Monday.
And as someone who's going into the committee, you might not can answer this, but your opinion of RPI, what is that? Do you like it? Do you disagree with it? Or
I think it's a tool, right? But it's not a perfect tool.
Yeah.
And so I think what you have to be careful with RPI, and again, I guess I can say these things because I'm not on the committee yet, not serving yet. I think there's some opportunities where RPIs get inflated, where it doesn't really quite reflect what's happening, and so I think you have to, and that's why it's a tool. It's one measure, and I think traditionally we've leaned on RPI pretty heavy, but I think you got to be very careful with that. Now, there's some adjustments that were made, you know, when it comes to quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four, kind of what that looks like when it comes to road games and neutral games this year, which I think was a great tweak. And so I think RPI is one of those things we will need to continue to evaluate, and there may be some adjustments that need to be made along the way.
Is there really any difference in being a 2 and 3 seed?
This is strictly my opinion. I would say this. If you're a 3 seed and you're facing a 2 seed, that Friday night arm is going to be pretty good. And so now, I think the 3 seed's arm is going to be
pretty good too. Yeah.
But I think that's the only difference for me is probably, you know, you may as a 2 seed, you may get a club that has a little better Friday night guy. And so out of the gate, that's the thing for me that There's not a ton of difference, but that would be the one thing.
So would you project us, I should say, as a two or a three? What would you have any feeling?
I think if things wrapped up today, I think we're sitting in a two seed spot. I mean, there's baseball to be played, certainly, but I think that's where what we've done to this point, I think, would point to the fact that we're sitting in a two spot. Again, that happened in a vacuum, and there's a lot of baseball to be played. But if we wrapped it up today, I would feel like that was where we were.
I'm sure you know all this, and I know we're picking your brain, but hypothetically, if Southern Miss was a two seed in wherever regional, and, they won the regional, they face off with a three seed. Is the super regional at the two seed? Or does that still go back to the committee like it did last year?
Well, it depends on. So depending on, the regions are matched up, right? So if the region you're matched up with, if you're a two seed and you win it and the three seed wins the region you're matched up with, then yes, the higher seed would get the super regional.
But the two is where the committee evaluates.
Yeah, when you're the same seed is when it gets kicked back to the committee, and then it's an evaluation of budgets and facilities and revenue and all those things.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, when will we know? When do they make the announcement?
So they will announce on Monday. So they'll announce host sites Sunday night. If that hasn't changed, and I don't think it has, and then Monday at 11 a.m. they'll announce the entire field.
Okay. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but while we have you here in a couple minutes left, football's not that far off.
Yeah, right.
Your thoughts about the football season? I know this is a big year for Coach Hall. He's expressed that to us.
Yep.
He seems to do very well in the portal. Seemed to have done that again this year. Your expectations and hopes for football?
Yeah, coming off of certainly a disappointing season for all of us. I think Coach Hall has done a fantastic job of addressing needs. I think we've gotten better at multiple positions that we just didn't quite get right last year, had injuries or whatever the case may be. We weren't as good as we wanted to be. So I think he's done a great job of addressing what those needs are. And to your point, done a great job in the portal, recruited a really good high school class as well. So I think we continue to create more depth in some key positions, which you don't ever want to have the injury bug, but last year we found ourselves in a situation where we had a really depleted secondary because we weren't as deep as we wanted to be, but I think he's done a great job of addressing those needs, and I feel optimistic about what we've seen in spring practice, about what we kind of see happening around us. I think one of the things that's been key for us has been that we've had some continuity of staff as a whole. We certainly needed to make some adjustments and hire some new coordinators, but I think there's some key people that we've kept on our staff over the past couple of years that continuity will be beneficial to us in the long run. And so I feel good about where we're at, and I'm as excited as anyone to get to September or August 31st, I should say, and play that first game and kind of see how we stack up. But I feel really good about what we've done in the offseason.
He works very hard at it.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. He's not going to be outworked. Again, not going to be out-recruited, not going to be out-prepared from a standpoint of what Will does a great job of is trying to make adjustments like he did this offseason, and we kind of got to the point where, hey, we need to approach this a little differently. So I think he's doing all he can to try to get it right. I feel really good about the fact that we've done the things in the offseason we needed to do.
It's always a great pleasure to have you on the Eagle Hour, Jeremy. Thank you so
much. Always great to join you guys. I appreciate what you do. I certainly appreciate y'all being here this week and being a part of what is always a fun week for us.
Yeah. We're taking a big chance. Jack Duggan is coming on the show next.
Well, it's I'm an easy follow, so it shouldn't be too tough for Jack.
All right, Jeremy, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
More from downtown Montgomery right after this.
To the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. Many thanks to Athletic Director Jeremy McClain for joining us. Special coverage of the 2024 Sun Belt Tournament, sponsored by, of course, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Corner Market Food Store, Southern Equipment and Parts. We always broadcast from the Bancorp South studios. And we're going to have Daniel Stewart joining us here in just a bit. But right now, one of our very favorite guests. Never know how these segments are going to go. Sometimes they've gone a little sideways on us.
Sometimes
when we've told some of the old
stories. I was going to ask, Bob, usually when guests come on, they get like a watch or something. You know, it used to be the old days.
Lifesavers.
Okay, that's we've kind of gone a long way back. You know, I remember as a kid listening to Jackson Met games, and they'd have the player of the game on, and they go, "We got this watch from so and so jewelers for Lee Mazzilli, who was our post game guest." And no. Well, I'll take the shirt. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm already off on a tangent. You have to forgive me.
When you
follow your athletic director, you've got to figure out a way to spice come on and have your own little mojo, as
you
it were.
He looked a little funny when I said, "Well, Jack is behind you, and he's motioning for you to leave, Jeremy."
No, I would never do that. That would definitely.
He said he's going to discuss it with you.
Okay, that's fair enough. he did say he wanted to see me after this. I didn't know what he was talking about.
I guess that has a little something to do
with
it.
Okay, fair enough.
He got the watch, by the way.
Okay, fair enough.
But you're welcome to all the lifesavers you like.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Bob.
We never travel without candy, Jack.
Yes.
So there we go.
Well, that's the only way to go.
Down. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jeremy. Did you like a game like yesterday, or do you like a high-score game?
I like yesterday. I'm an old, they call me the old left-hander. John does because of the, being a pitcher, a trade. And I tell you, it was a great, I mean, Billy Oldham was fantastic yesterday, and as was their guy. And then Colby Allen came in, and he just took up where Billy left off. And it was a fun game to watch. You know, certainly you'd have liked to have seen us take advantage of our opportunities in the sixth and the seventh innings. But, to see Slade Wilkes extend his hitting streak to 29 games yesterday on a 3-0, that was just – I mean, I think I could have probably almost hit it out of the ballpark. It was they give our coaching staff credit. They gave him the green light, and, it won the ball game for us.
Well, I'm going to say it was fun after it was over. About the seventh inning, I was feeling a little miserable.
Well, one of those games when you have those opportunities and – you can't score. You go, man. You know, was that going to be our only chance? Is this going to be our only chance? And then when you change starters, you change up the rhythm of the game, and sometimes that comes back and bites you. But fortunately, it didn't for us yesterday. Fortunately, we scored 5 2-out runs in the eighth, and we were able to extend our streak of conference tournaments. I think it's 38 years now that we've won at least one game in a conference tournament. You'd have to go back to 1985. The Metro Conference in Tallahassee, Florida, Dick Houser Stadium was the last time we went 2-and-out in a conference tournament.
Really?
Yeah. So, and again, Bob, I've said this before, 1985, that was the year before my freshman year here at the University of Southern Mississippi. And I'm not saying there's a correlation there. I'm just saying that's just kind of the way that it has worked out.
Well, I wouldn't say there's a correlation. That was like 15 years before Dima was there.
I know. You ought to hear me when Dima's in the press box and I tell a story and I get the, Jack, I wasn't born then. I'd say, hey, Dima, why don't you just pipe down? I don't want to hear that.
He gets on to me when I sneeze, let alone anything else. Yeah.
I've learned you got to watch him.
I do. If I don't stay on him, he'll come in late, and then I look down there. He's got four Coca Colas he's drinking all at the same time, and you just the young guys, you got to be on them all the time.
Even though the sign on the Coke container in the press box says one at a time, Damon.
One at a time, but you can go back and get another one.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, seriously though, this is not about Damon, but. We had a guy, he did something for us, and we were playing a doubleheader, and it was the end of the first game, and I looked down there, and he had 7 Sprites lined up that he had had over the first game, and I go, you've got to be kidding me, really? So,
running a press box, in a sense, is kind of like going to Walmart. You've seen a little bit of everything. Am I correct to say about
that? Yeah, I think I get a bad rap sometimes, Bob, because people think I'm an old, mean curmudgeon when I'm in the press box. I just like it to be a certain way, and you come up, you cheer, you might as well face it. You're going to get yelled at by me, and you're going to get thrown out. And Dave's aware of that. I've never thrown Dave out. He knows the rule.
But I'm also very pleasant. Would you say that I'm pleasant?
Yes, okay. Very nice. And I think the funniest story ever that I was a part of in your press box was there's a certain person in the media, I don't remember who it was, but he started cheering and Jack starts, you know, yelling at him to stop cheering. As Jack is yelling at him, this guy starts cheering louder over Jack's voice.
Yes.
And that was probably the funniest
moment. He tossed him, right?
No, I would have – usually somebody behind me, those are the ones that I usually throw out because those are the ones I know for sure. Because you never want to yell, like, right behind me. And that's when I get really angry. But
Right. So if you're going to yell, don't sit behind you.
Sure.
Sit on the other end of the
press. Exactly.
I got you. All right. Former pitcher.
Okay.
This will be Troy's third game.
Yes.
Today. It'll be our second game.
Right.
Is that an advantage for us?
Yeah. I mean, they had to use a lot of guys the first day. Or actually yesterday. So they're down a little bit, and it should be a little bit of an event, and it's supposed to be because we were the number two seed. But
Louisiana should have beat James Madison.
Well, yeah, big run inning.
Yeah, it was Old Dominion. Right?
Yeah,
Old
yeah.
Dominion.
Yep. That's the one thing about these tournaments. It's very easy to get the teams confused. You know,
and you never know who's going to win, do you?
No, you really never do. You just hope you can play well enough that you keep advancing and you keep hoping that you can somehow find a way to make it to Sunday. And you know, the great thing about today's game is if you win today, you got tomorrow off.
Right.
So then you can maybe explore a little bit of this beautiful downtown Montgomery area that we're at. You know, you look across the street, you got the Legacy Museum. There's three or four other really nice museums in this town.
Hank Williams Museum
is here. I mean, yeah, I think if you're a Gold Nickel fan and, you know, you're looking for a weekend getaway, this is the place to come. They got great restaurants down here downtown, and, you know, it's only 4 hours from Hattiesburg. Yeah. And, you know, you can come watch some great baseball, maybe, you know, get a little culture while you're here.
Yeah.
Although some people probably would argue that watching baseball is cultured, but yeah. –
Demon, do you know who Hank Williams is?
I do not.
Is this where I just take my headsets off and just leave? I mean, come on, Demon.
Tell you what, I'm going to take mine off and leave with you, Jack.
Right. When we come back, Demon's going to run the program for the rest of the Eagle Hour. Oh, goodness.
He was a very famous country music singer.
You know, did you ever,
probably heard a few songs.
How about you know, had a son. You know what his son's name was? Hank Williams Jr.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of him?
I've not.
Okay.
And he's on a – that
do
was
ever,
on a whole other
do you
level.
Ever remember the Monday night theme song, Monday Night Football theme song?
No.
He was the one that wrote it. Or he was the one that would perform it. It was a long, long, long time.
We won't ask you any more questions. Yeah, yeah.
I told you we needed to leave him out of the conversation, Bob. Golly, he's killing my segment. No, I'm just kidding. David, you know.
Oh, yes, sir.
Jack, it's always fun having you on the show.
Well, I appreciate it.
We don't ever talk about anything serious.
Bob goes, hey, Jack, come on, we're going to talk about the tournament. And then we talk for 10 minutes. I don't think we talked one thing about the tournament. So, anyway.
Well, speaking of the tournament, the good guys are arriving.
They are.
I see them back there on the catwalk. So
they are. Coming into the ballpark.
Well, seeing that you're the sports information director, update us on Carson Pato. Anything you say?
I don't really know a whole lot about that. I know that he injured his hand last Saturday, and he's kind of day to day right now. You know, I think that they'll test it again today, see if he can go, and if he can't, we'll probably go something similar to what we did yesterday. But they from what I understand is it was not a fracture. So, you know, because the first question I was is it a hamate bone? Because, you know, that's a very common injury where and then you got to spend a month out. But, you know, they didn't seem to think that was the case. So, I think that's what
up.
Coach, yeah, I mean, you got to have guys that step up this time of year. You know, you're always looking for a hero this time of year, Bob. And, you know, sometimes those guys emerge. I mean, you look back over the last few years, you go back to what, the 2018 Conference USA Tournament, had a relief pitcher, Mason Strickland, who was asked to come on and pitch to get us to the championship game.
And he did.
And he threw a complete game shutout.
Yeah, there you go.
The Sunday morning of the championship game. Mm. So we had to win that game and then come back and play the championship game because of weather down in Biloxi. And, you know, our program's littered with guys like that have come up big in big situations down the stretch. And, you know, today's another opportunity for that. And we're looking forward to seeing how our game at 4 o'clock plays out.
You're the best, buddy. You know you're always welcome.
Well, thank you, Bob. I always appreciate it. I try not to go over the top sometimes, but I have a tendency to get goofy when I get on the air. So thanks for putting up with my foolishness. You and John. John does the same thing. And I'm very grateful. Very grateful for the opportunity to be the sports information director of the University of Southern Mississippi. Was placed at, you know, I grew up kind of my second home growing up, and had a longtime aunt who was a longtime professor who's not with us anymore. Who her dream for me was to go to the University of Southern Mississippi, and I did that. And I know how happy she would be if she knew that I was back in Hattiesburg. And it's still always a pleasure to kind of do this job.
Jack Duggan, everybody. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, special coverage of the 2024 Sunbelt Baseball Tournament, sponsored by Corner Market Food Stores, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Southern Equipment and Parts, continues. And we are watching Louisiana and James Madison play. And after getting beat yesterday, as you would expect, the Raging Cajuns appear to be waking up. They have the bases loaded, no outs, bottom of the second inning, and a 1-0 lead, or rather 1-1, tied 1-1. But the Raging Cajuns threatening here early in the ball game. Glad to have Mike Soudan on the radio show with us. Mike is the CEO and marketing man for the great Corner Market Food Stores and a great supporter of Southern Miss Athletics. Mike, I don't think that maybe people that aren't as have the privilege of knowing as much about your great company as I've learned, have a real appreciation of just how supportive Corner Market Food Stores are for the University of Southern Mississippi. I know that that being supportive of the university is important to Corner Market.
Absolutely. First, thank you for having me on the call. I really wish I was there with you watching the game, because that's some good baseball. I mean, didn't Southern look great yesterday? Wow.
Great pitching. Great pitching by the Golden Eagles yesterday.
Fantastic. Shut them out. And Coastal has a good baseball team. No question. Yeah, I mean, we support Southern in every way we can, because the university is so important to this whole area, not just Hattiesburg, but this whole area. It's critically important to us, and we want to be part of it. Coach Barry left last year, but you won't find a better human being than him. Just everybody associated with the university. We love being a part of it.
Right down to the kids, Mike. You get around these kids a lot, you just see what first-class young men they are. I think they recruit character as much as talent, and this whole community should be proud of the Southern Miss baseball program.
And no doubt about it. Yeah, every year around the holidays, the athletes will come into our store and they'll help bag groceries and just do things for the community. And you can see it. These are just first-class individuals.
No question. Hey, Memorial Day is here, Mike. That's got to be big for the grocery store industry, right?
It is. And thank goodness the weather's going to cooperate this year. So yeah, it's going to be hot, and people are going to be outside, and whatever they need, we got it. So our stores are stocked up, plenty of staff, plenty of product. We're excited about the weekend. This kind of starts our summer season, and we're excited about it.
You know, I live between the Bellevue and Oak Grove stores, so I shop at both stores, but I think I've told you this before. My wife and I, on many a Saturday afternoon, will go to the store in Midtown just to kind of walk around, buy some seafood. It's always so much fun. What a great, great success story that's been, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I've got to tell you, when I'm having a bad day, and there are times we have bad days, I'll go in that store and just wander around. because it feels so good. The people in there are just wonderful people. We're blessed. We have great people at all of our locations. Midtown just happens to be a little bit newer and a little bit bigger, a few more offerings, and I'm glad to hear you say that. I love just wandering around in there.
No, no question. You know, your folks always seem happy. All the people at Corner Market that work for you seem happy, Mike.
Well, we try. We're smart enough to know that it's our people that make the difference. We can build the most beautiful building in the world and have all the bells and whistles, but if you don't have the people, forget it. It's the people. Always has been, always will be.
Hey, in the minute or so we have left, how many Corner Markets are there now, Mike? Where are all of you guys located?
We are located, we've got three in Jackson, we've got one in Vicksburg, and in Raymond. We've got them in Laurel, Hattiesburg, Petal, about 13 of them all around the state.
And this is a family-owned company, correct?
Absolutely. It's been in the Roberts family for over 50 years. We're on the third generation. David Roberts is third-generation owner. And that, you know, that's what makes this special is they love the people, they love the community, and it shows through all of us. It's a wonderful organization to be with.
We're blessed to have Corner Market food stores in the areas that we live, and I'll just tell you, Super Talk, it'd be hard for us to thank you enough for all the things you do with us, and what a great client and friend you've been through the years. And I just wanted to, while we're on the air, thank you for that, and remind all of the Southern Miss fans listening to this show just how supportive Corner Market is of the university and its athletic program, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and thank you for always including us in this. This is a great opportunity for us to be part of this, and thank you so much for allowing us to do this.
Let's go Eagles, right?
Absolutely. Let's go Eagles.
There you go. All right, everybody. Mike Soudan from Corner Market Food Stores, and very, very grateful to Corner Market and Mike for all that they do to make this broadcast possible. And Dima, thanks to Corner Market, we're sitting here watching Louisiana. It appears to me that the Cajuns have awoken from a slumber.
They have. And I just want to say one thing about Corner Market in Midtown. They have Jenny's Ice Cream in the section, one of the only stores in Hattiesburg that has Jenny's Ice Cream, the best ice cream you can have. Go get it at Corner Market.
Jenny's Ice Cream.
Jenny's
I'm going to have
cream.
To chip. Better than...
It is the best ice cream.
Better than Bluebell?
It is the best.
The best. Jenny's Ice Cream. The official ice cream of Dima Mixon.
It is.
On the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, when we come back, a whole nother hour, we got great guests, I'm telling you. We got Daniel Stewart here, Andrew Abadie. We're going to bring some fans on the show before we leave. Going to have a good time. Super Talk Eagle Hour from Montgomery, Alabama continues after the break.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the Super Talk Eagle Hour from the 2024 Sunbelt Baseball Tournament, downtown Montgomery, Alabama. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon. Special coverage today brought to you by Genesis of Hattiesburg, Southern Equipment and Parts, and of course, Corner Market Food Stores. All right, we've brought in all the experts now. We've got our baseball analyst, Daniel Stewart. We've got the ace sports writer, Andrew Abadie. We've got Dima here with us as well. I'm going to start with you, Andrew. Anything surprise you to this point? Your thoughts about Southern Miss's performance and what you've seen?
In terms of Southern Miss's performance, no. With how the Sun Belt has shaked out, yes. I did not think Coastal would have been two and out so quickly. I say that, I thought Southern Miss would beat them. It's just weird to say, given where they've been for three-fourths of the year. App State is doing them. You know, it's been interesting. Troy is about where I thought they'd be. UL struggling is kind of a surprise too, although they're not struggling right now. Yeah, it's going to get interesting, especially with some of these other conferences. I think the Sun Belt might find itself losing out on some bids right now.
Where would you put them right now if you were guessing, man?
Southern Miss?
No, the conference and the number of bids. Four?
I think it might go to three now.
You think so?
Yeah, I just because of what's happening with the SEC, there's potential bid stealers, and with, you know, Indiana State might lose out on theirs. I think the Big Ten and Big 12 have had a couple upsets. Yeah, then, you know, Coastal is one of those teams I think a lot of people would have had set in the tournament, and, you know, their performance was not helpful. You know, if UL loses right now, they might be in trouble too. I mean, you don't really want to say that, but, you know, JMU's one of the first five in, or the last five in, and Troy's one of the last five out right now. I mean, it's not shaping up well for the Sun Belt. The only team that's really safe is Southern Miss.
What do you say about the quote-unquote, I guess you'd call them, conspiracy theorists who say that it benefits the SEC, and the SEC doesn't really care. Their teams don't really care how they do in their conference tournament, that it benefits the conference for the higher-seeded teams to lose because they just pile more lower-seed SEC teams in the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, there's some credence to that. I don't think anybody had on their bingo card of the top four seeded teams in the SEC tournament losing yesterday. I think a lot of it has to do with some of these bottom teams that, I mean, they're good teams. They're just finally playing well. You know, Mississippi State, LSU are causing pure mayhem right now for some of the bracketologists. But, yeah, you know, Arkansas being eliminated today, I didn't see that coming. It's just.
But they're still in the region.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, like an LSU, you know, doing what they've done the last couple games, like I would have said they were out heading into the tournament, and now they're suddenly in. And, you know, Mississippi State, you know, they weren't going to host, and now they're probably going to host. And it's going to get interesting to see where Southern Miss's destination is. And I know if you're a Southern Miss fan, I got an interesting theory. If you don't want to go to Starkville, I think it's within your best interest for Mississippi State to win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Stewart, former pitcher for the Golden Eagles, our baseball analyst for the year. I want you to talk for a minute about what you saw out of Billy Odom yesterday.
Wow, yeah. Well, Billy, his performance yesterday was kind of what you expect, lights out. Like, he's really only had one tough outing this year, but fortunately, the job that I have, I kind of propped my iPad up and logged into ESPN Plus, was able to watch the game and work at the same time. And, you know, watching from, you know, the camera in center field, you don't really realize how the ball comes out of Billy's hand I think it's a heavy ball. He got a lot of swings and misses yesterday, but I think he gets that because his changeup is so good. And he's got command of the fastball, the curveball, and that good change. So, you know, more of the same we saw yesterday with Billy that we've seen all year. Really impressive to watch him. I wish he hadn't thrown 105 pitches and we'd still be able to use him the rest of this tournament, but I think he's done. But he'll be ready to go come regional time.
All right, finish this sentence. Nico Mazza has to do what today for the Golden Eagles to win?
Well, I mean, you got to command the strike zone. You can't put people on board. Every team here is got that little bit of anxiety that they know that their season could end. So they're going to be amped up. So he can't put people on base and give the other team opportunities to score. Got to do a lot of what Billy did yesterday. Command the strike zone, throw your three pitches for strikes, get ahead, work ahead in the count. And if he can do that, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of what we see Nico do this whole year today as well.
Damon, you almost were predicting yesterday when Billy Odom was going to come back with a changeup, and it was lethal.
I did. You know, he was doing that fastball, changeup, two-speed fastball, four-speed changeup. It was like if there was a two-strike pitch, it was going to be a changeup, and then it was almost every time it was either a strikeout or a little nubber to second base, because it's just, as actually Jeremy McClain was talking about, when you play a high-powered team like Coastal or any SEC school, it's why Billy Odom did so well in the Super Regionals and pitching against Auburn. They see 92 to 96 every weekend when the SEC or a, you know, high-hitting team. So when you have a 91, 89, 91 setting fastball that's a good pitch that you're piecing on the zone, I mean, it's hard to hit. And then you come with a pitch that's about 10 to 15 miles an hour, you know, slower than that, that looks exactly the same. You're way out in front of it and look like a goober spinning around trying to hit it. So
yeah,
that's what was happening, and that's why he's so good. Mazza does similar things, but his velocity is a little higher, which is why it's so easy. You don't see, you know, you don't see the amount of swing and misses. There's a lot of contact. There's a lot of ground balls, flyouts, and then he gets the strikeout when he puts in that off-speed pitch that he sometimes puts in.
All right, Andrew, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're the sports writer. After today, the Golden Eagles win, they use Nico Mazza. Then what?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what Oz is going to be asking himself. I think the real question to ask, and this is assuming if they get to a Sunday championship game, is does Southern Miss feel like they've done enough to get into the tournament? Do they feel like they have to win this championship game to, I don't know about hosting, I'd say that's out, but to guarantee themselves a spot into the tournament? And I bring that up, whereas you go back to 2019, where they bring back Stevie Powers and Walker Powell to pitch two, three innings each in that championship game. Does Southern Miss feel like they're in that spot? You know, last year, and we didn't quite see it, but Tanner Hall was warming up in the bullpen in that championship game because they felt that they could host a regional. I understand that. So I think that's the question you have to really ask. I think you also got to see which Nico Mazza are we going to see today. Is it the guy who's been great for seven innings, or is it the one that gets hit around and he's done in three innings? And your guess is as good as mine on which one we'll see. Typically, Nico shows up for great games or for great competition, and he pitches badly against bad teams.
Yeah.
So I think that will have a lot to do with it. I think if you hold Kobe Allen, he's probably going to be a guy you have to pitch longer on Saturday. In a perfect world, I think you just use Nico and Cross today, and hopefully that's it. And then you could probably piece something together with Cole Boswell, J.B. Middleton, and whoever else has been playing well.
Can we assume, though, that the Golden Eagles are in the regionals, irregardless if it ended today? It was not going to end today, but if it ended on Saturday, you feel pretty comfortable they're going to make a regional?
I would be surprised if they were not in the NCAA tournament.
Right, right. Yeah. Daniel, Hill Denson told us earlier this year, and he's a tournament director for the NCAA. He said the resume of Southern Miss over the last 3 to 4 years gives them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to bubble decisions with the NCAA. You think that's right?
Yeah, I think so. I think from a national standpoint, Southern Miss, we're there. You know, you look at all of the consecutive games of winning 30 games, winning 40 games, we're at the top. So the selectors of these tournaments, who the teams are going to be, they know that, they see that. So I think that does give us a little bit of an edge when it really comes time to who's in, who's out. But, you know, you really look at our strength of schedule, look at our RPI, look where we are. I think take our reputation out of it. I still think this team earns a bid to the regional this year. I've seen some projections where we may even be a two seed, which would be really good. You know, that two team versus three team in the regional. I definitely think our reputation is going to help us, give us a boost if we need it. But I'm thinking this team's got all they need right now to do it on their own.
Now, Andrew, my man Dima here believes we're going to Starkville. What do you say?
I think if Mississippi State, you know, lays an egg for it, I think they will host. And I think their top three destinations are Starkville, Fayetteville, or Tallahassee.
Let's go to Starkville.
But
I'd much rather drive to Starkville.
I don't know. I kind of want to go somewhere different. That's just me. But like I said, if you're a Southern Miss fan and you don't want to be in, I mean, it's going to be home field advantage for Mississippi State in that. If you don't want to deal with that, which I understand that argument, I do think Southern Miss could beat Mississippi State. I think that's probably the most favorable matchup.
I agree.
But my argument is, if let's say Southern Miss wins the Sun Belt, Mississippi State wins the SEC tournament, well, all of a sudden, the regionals are going to get harder to put together.
Yeah. Hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be right back. Daniel Stewart, Andrew Rabbity, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Steve and I will be right back from Montgomery.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, back in Montgomery, Alabama, Dima Mix and Bob Getty. 7-1, the Raging Cajuns have awoken from last night's slumber. And at least right now, pretty much pounding James Madison. I don't think that's a big surprise, is it, Dima? I think the surprise was they didn't win last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised. James Madison, a four seed, you know, they lost a close one last night to Georgia Southern, and I would expect them to put up a little bit more fight because this could have been a second-round game. Obviously, a seven spot in the second doesn't help anybody, but we'll see if James Madison can piece it. There's still a lot of game to play. I mean, only in the bottom of the third, so they're only, I mean, down six. That's not a great position to be in, but you'd hope that with the way James Madison can swing the bat, they can get some runs going and kind of get themselves back in a position to strike.
I looked out my hotel window last night. It was about 10 o'clock. They were still playing. And James, that was James Madison that was playing here late last night and then back in this humidity this afternoon.
Oh, that's tough.
All right. Dima was in the post-game interviews yesterday with the Golden Eagles. Set it up, Dima.
So we talked to Christian Ostrander, Slade Wilkes, and Billy Oldham. And here's what Christian Ostrander said after last night's or yesterday's win over Coastal Carolina.
Okay, I guess we don't.
Okay, well,
I guess we
don't. Yeah, so, well, he was very proud of the way the team was able to bounce back and just in the general of going through an entire game where you don't have any hits. And he talked about Billy's performance on the mound. Billy said that he was excited to get back out against Coastal after posting a career high in strikeouts last time they played. Slade was asked just about his performance, and he was talking about, you know, being able to stay in the zone, especially on a 3-0 count, and being able to stay kind of calm in a postseason moment. And then Ostrander talked about playing Troy again, and he said it was a hard-fought series, like it was. He says he expects nothing other than a dogfight this afternoon at 4 p.m.
Do we have, or Will, if you can hear us, do we have those sound bites?
We have them loaded on the computer. For whatever reason, they are not playing right now.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, no worries.
No big deal. All right, let's go back to the conversation. What do the Golden Eagles have to do today, Andrew, to win this game in advance to get a day off and as we see Troy is beginning to arrive? Have you guys ever noticed this? Interrupt you a second. They come walking down here. Dima and I were noticing yesterday the Cajuns were coming down here. Those red jerseys, it was reminiscent of the British Army marching into Yorktown.
It really
was. Revolutionary War.
And, you know, they used to line up like that when they would walk in. It would be almost a single file. It'd be six on six. And then, you know, it was the Cajuns were wearing their bright red jerseys yesterday with their white pants. I was pretending like I was Paul Revere saying, the British are coming. You know?
Well, actually, Troy's coming in. We've hoped they've had a big meal with ice cream and milkshakes and stuff like that, Andrew. Think there's any chance of that?
Maybe for the guys not playing today.
I reckon the other ones are just kind of juiced up on energy drinks and fruit. Right?
Most likely.
Yeah. So what do the Golden Eagles have to do to knock Troy off for the third time this year?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be more of the same formula from yesterday. You need Nico to go at least six. You got to keep the bullpen preserved, and you know, if Nico's dealing, we all know how good he can be. And the other part of it is you want to see the bats come alive a little bit sooner. But you know, they answered the call when they had to. You know, that's what it matters at the end of the day. And I was kind of surprised to see Southern Miss not get off to a quick start, as I think they scored like it's like a third of their runs in the first three innings or something silly like that. So you know, I expect to kind of see that again. Don't know who Troy is going to throw today. I know they threw Lyon yesterday. That was supposed to be one of their ace starters. He only went three innings yesterday. They had to go to a few arms in
their
bullpen.
I think four.
Yeah, so I don't quite know what it's going to be. I know Southern Miss didn't have trouble hitting Troy, so we'll see what happens.
Daniel, this was a great moment yesterday. The game, obviously, when Wilkes gets the big hit. But the drama around it, it's two outs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 3-0 pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jeremy said earlier today, you give him the green light, he pops it up in the infield, and everybody said, what in the world are you thinking?
Right.
It's 3-0. But they had confidence in Slade. He's your senior. He's led you all year. It was the right call, and he really delivered.
Well, I think he's earned that opportunity also to give Big Evan the green light. I mean, he's had a 28-game hit streak. Let's let him see if he can extend that. He's the guy with the pop. So we know at a 3-0 count that pitcher doesn't want to walk a guy. It's going to probably be a good pitch to hit, and it was. But you're right. Had he popped it up, everybody on Eagle Post and watching back home say, "Oh, what are we doing? We needed to put a take on there." But yeah. We didn't have to have that conversation because he knocked it off the wall and put us up. So really, really good opportunity for Slade, and I really like to see him extend his hitting streak.
But let me clarify something. Are you saying that people on Eagle Post second guess the coaches and players?
There might be a little bit of second guessing, but you know, all those people, you know, they know what they're talking about, right?
Are you aware of that, Andrew?
You know, I've heard there's this contingent that exists.
It's very entertaining, though. It is.
What about you, Demi? You ever seen anything like that on Eagle Post?
I have no idea what y'all are talking about. I thought they were the most, not freak out people ever. They, yeah. You know, they're down in the seventh, and they are always like, man, we love our team. You know,
they don't ever
drop a bomb or anything.
I think the amount of Twitter burner accounts that Southern Miss
that's
has.
Criminal.
They should form their own Facebook group at this point.
They really should. It'd be like Eagle Post, Twitter, Eagle Post.
Andrew, Bob, if you're interested, I got those interviews to play if you want to use
right.
those.
Well, let's hear what Oz said after yesterday's game. Will, thank you.
Yeah, just really proud of that win. I thought it was obviously a great pitcher's duel. I thought Billy did a great job, and their guy did a great job. So, you know, runs were hard to come by, and just really proud of our guys kind of staying in the middle of the ring and finally getting a chance to strike there in the eighth inning, and got some big hits out of Slade and Nick. So, great game, very proud of it, and, it was a hard-fought win for sure. Yeah, just really a true four-pitch mix. I mean, two different types of spin, the changeup, the fastball that he can command to all quadrants, you know, the zone. So he can elevate, he can go in, out, and so forth. So, we've grown accustomed to it. You know, he's done a great job for us and just a true pitcher. And I thought that was on display today.
All right, good stuff. Andrew, I didn't really realize this until a few weeks ago, but Billy Odom has another year of eligibility.
Yeah, and he didn't walk on senior day either. So
does that tell you he's coming back?
I think he's going to see what happens with the draft, as I think anybody would. I mean, he's done his 4 years of school. But, boy, it'd be nice to have Billy Odom, and then you can't forget Matt Adams, who had to take the year for a medical red shirt. So you never know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see Billy get drafted, but at the same time, you know, there's always the fun what if.
But we do expect Mazza to get drafted relatively high. Is that fair to say?
I don't know about relatively high anymore. I mean, I think he'll get drafted, but, you know, in the preseason, I would have said 4 or 5 round. Now, I think it's going to be more like 15, 16.
So what's your gut? Do you think he would take that, or do you think he could come back?
I don't know. I mean, he's only a junior. Yeah. I don't know the Nico mindset. I know everybody's dream is to go play pro ball. I think it's just a matter of if you feel like it's the best opportunity, and probably a little bit more so these days, which organization picks you? Are you going to go into a system where they're known for developing their pitchers?
Yes, just so. Gentlemen, thank you both for being on the Eagle. We appreciate all your contributions all year.
Absolutely.
As I told you the other day, I think you do an excellent job covering Southern Miss sports.
No doubt.
We're grateful to you guys for that. Will, we out of time? I think I hear the music. It's difficult to hear here.
We got about a minute and a half left before the music hits.
Okay. Well, good. We got about 90 seconds left. So just your final thoughts, Andrew, and then we'll do the same with our friend there beside you.
I think my final thoughts are I'm very anxious to see where they go. There's another bid-stealing upset brewing right now. Wichita State is on the verge of knocking off East Carolina. That would be another one where a bid is gone. So it's going to get interesting to see. You never know. We could all be wrong, and they send the Golden Eagles somewhere into the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. That's perhaps what I'm most interested in seeing.
I've even seen Oklahoma at one time. I mean, who knows? Does any of it matter? I mean,
nobody knows.
That's gone. Matter?
There's a home run.
Wow.
That's Big the fly. Longest home run I've seen yet.
Big fly.
That was over the wall, out on the train track almost.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, 30 seconds. Your thoughts about the rest of the tournament?
Well, hopefully this pitching staff can dig deep and get some of those performances that we've seen in the past from guys that haven't done well. We need to really get some innings out of Mazza today to let our bullpen rest as much as we can. We score runs. We can always hopefully out-hit them, outscore them, and put a little less stress on our pitching staff. But I like where we are. Really looking forward to the end of the season.
I appreciate both you guys very much sitting in with us today. Your insight's very good. We're always grateful for it.
Glad to be here again.
All right, we'll be right back. Another half hour of the Super Talk Eagle Hour from downtown Montgomery. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, back in Montgomery, Alabama, 2024 Sun Belt Baseball Tournament, 7-2, Louisiana leading James Monroe, and that game in the bottom of the fourth inning. James Hutto joins us. Daniel Stewart remains with us. James and I are, I'm happy to say, good friends. We watch every baseball game together, just about. Certainly every game at Pete Taylor Park. And, James, we have a pack. We are never stressed. So I'm assuming yesterday going into the eighth inning you were cool as a cucumber.
You know it, Bob. We've agreed on that, haven't we? We don't get stressed anymore. We made a vow like a couple of years ago, I think, that we weren't going to get stressed over baseball anymore.
Correct.
I think that lasted maybe a few hours.
To the first game, I think, as I recall.
So.
I thought maybe around the seventh inning I was going to have to lean over the rail and vomit.
Oh, I know. Look, I'm telling you, when you look at the performance, Oldham's performance in that game, it's amazing. That's one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really good.
I was looking at his – I think he faced maybe 23 batters, I think, and all the way into the eighth inning. I mean, he had one hit on him.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
I said earlier in the show, it's fun watching Dima yesterday. Dima's watched so much, he was almost predicting when Billy Odom was fixed to throw another changeup. And Dima would go, changeup, and about that time you see some guy woof at the ball and not within a foot of hitting the baseball. Yeah. You can almost predict it, huh, Dima?
I can. I do pretty well. You know, I think I've successfully predicted 7 home runs this season, actually, right before they hit it. And me and Glenn Dyer, who runs 247 Sports, Golden Eagle Pride, we sit in the box and we have this competition who can call it the best. And I know there was a game where Gillespie hit a home run. I think it was off the top of the eagle on the scoreboard. And right before he hit that, we normally just do this as our sign. And the next pitch, he hit it out. So sometimes I can just feel it, and sometimes I'm right. 95% of the time I'm wrong, though, and they just whiff it. So.
Well, the guy sitting right next to you could not only predict it, he could throw them.
Okay.
Daniel Stewart slayed Mississippi State every time. So if we do go to Starkville, have you got a COVID year maybe? You could start that first game for us?
Well, I don't know about that.
Did you have COVID? Did you have COVID?
Do what?
Did you have COVID?
COVID?
COVID. Did you have COVID?
Oh, yeah.
We'll give you another year.
Well, you know, as much as I'd love to suit up again, this old arm probably can't take it. But, hey, we can try.
You still got 80 in you, I bet.
Maybe 80 once, and then after that, my shoulder is falling off, you know. So, I've done my time, and, you know, it's hard to believe that was 22 years ago was my senior year.
Well, you were right on the cusp of when this program took off.
Yeah, you know, 2001 on paper, we had a really good team ranked and just couldn't get it together from a chemistry standpoint. But 2002, we get some guys like Matt Shepard, Jared Hoffpire, Cliff Russell came in. Really good energy, really good chemistry. Rebounded. I think we got 36 wins. And then in 2003 is when they went on that regional run. So I don't know if it was because I left we got better or because I helped them get better. But, hey, I'm gonna hope it's the latter.
You know, Bob, talking about the game yesterday, talking about prediction, I was sitting with Lee Applewhite, and
did you have to?
Well, yeah. It was my choice, actually. Lee and I are good friends. It's like he's your good friend. But we were when Willis was 3-0, I looked at Lee and I said, I'd let him hit. And sure enough, you know, he hit the double off the score. Then when Monastir came up, Lee predicted, he said, he's going to hit it out of here. And we were right on both those predictions.
I was surprised they gave him a strike on the 3-0 pitch. I was just shocked.
Yeah, I'm going to break something to you. Right before that 3-0 pitch, Demon and I texted Oz, let him swing. And we're going to take credit for that.
That's right. Well, you know, a few days ago, we talked about how Christian Ostrander listens to you on all of his decisions.
Yes,
you know,
I've noticed
for
like,
damn sure.
Like Oz will come out of the dugout and he looks up here where you're seated and he's like, yeah, give me some information here.
He does some kind of sign, you know. Yeah.
Bob, I think he's looking to say, shut up. I think that's about the only
message. You know, I was talking to Daniel about the same people that get on the internet and lament about some coach that loses a game are the ones that don't understand the reason our baseball program is so good is that we have let these guys stay and develop the program over
for
years.
For sure. I think, Daniel, that's the secret.
That's the secret sauce is you get guys that want to be at Southern Miss. They don't look at USM as a stepping stone. They invest themselves in the team, the community, the school, and you build a really loyal fan base around that. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have a pretty rough stretch here and there. And, sure. You know, it's really important to have the program, and you build that program, you recruit to that program. And if you do those things and stick with it, that's what builds success. And I think that Southern Miss has been able to do that the last, gosh, long time now, going back to Coach Denson.
Can we all agree that are sitting here that no matter what happens this weekend, this has been one heck of a year from the new coach, Christian Ostrander?
Well, you know, you were pointing out to me the Rick Cleveland article that pointed out that the number of position players that he had to replace this year to be in this position just tells you a lot about his ability as a coach. I mean, it's amazing that we're here after losing all those players. You know, you look at some of our competitors when they've gone on these runs and gone deep into the tournaments and all, they'll have a couple of down years where they have to rebuild when kids graduate. It's like we just reload.
Yeah. And I think it's
– go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, and I think it's a testament to the players that they lost, not even just the amount of players. You know, you lost Tanner Hall. You lost Dustin Dickerson. It was a staple of the infield. Sargent, Etzel, you know, Danny Lynch. I mean, just players that are just would seem like detrimental to lose. You know, we lost Dustin Dickerson. Oh, we'll put in Ozzie Pratt right there. You know, we lost Tanner Hall. Look who's on the mound now with Billy Oldham. You know, we lost Danny Lynch. We got Gabe Broadus right there. You know, lost Matthew Etzel. Look at what McIntyre's done in center field. I mean, it's not a rebuilding. It's more of a reloading, as you're saying.
Although Danny Lynch will remain the number one player for the ladies in the in the Golden Eagle Nation for a long time.
I think so.
Is that right?
I think you're exactly right about that.
You know, he came out on the field recently at a game. I think you were there. He came out. There was a little conference at home plate. For some reason, Lynch comes out, and you can literally hear women, Danny, we love you, Danny. Oh, my gosh, I should have such a problem.
That's exactly
right. here you go, right there. We just heard one right there. We love Danny. Daniel, your thoughts about where the Golden Eagles can go. I mean, do they have – here's the big question. Do they have the pitching depth this year to carry this thing out till Sunday, and particularly if they were to lose a game and have to play through the bottom bracket?
Yeah, well, we all know that our staff is pretty thin right now, and, you know, nothing against those guys, but, you know, just the depth that we've got and the experience that we've got has been a little bit less, but anything can happen. And, you know, we need to win so that we don't have to have another game and stretch these guys out even further. I'd love to see it run rule. Good gosh. I mean, get these guys off the field.
That'd be nice.
That would be really nice. We need to save our arms as much as we can.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the guy's name, but a few years back, conference tournament, one of you guys may remember, pitcher we had really hadn't done a
Mason
lot.
Mason Strickland.
Mason Strickland.
Yep.
And he comes out and throws a 9-inning complete game. Yeah, I can't remember, maybe Rice. You know, I really want to see a performance like that, and it may take something like that to get us further in this thing.
Right. I think we were playing Charlotte on a Sunday morning and had to win both games that day to get, and won the tournament.
Yeah, I believe we did. We won.
Won the tournament.
You know, one point about the pitching depth, really, when you get to this point, everybody's stretched on pitching.
Everybody's on deck, yeah.
And, you know, so I think we're – and when you get to the regional, which I know we're going to a regional, I'm confident of that. When you get to the regional, you got four teams as opposed to all these teams that we're playing here. So you really don't have to have quite the depth there that you need here.
Yeah, the conference tournament's going to put more strain on the pitcher's arms than a regional will.
Exactly.
Because we potentially have to play more games and stretch that staff out. So – get through this tournament, get to a regional, and I'm going to feel a lot better.
I heard what you said about Billy Odom. I don't think you could pitch Billy Odom Sunday with a regional looking at you on Thursday.
No. You know, kind of like Andrew said earlier, depending on how many days rest we get, maybe, you know, if we're fighting for a championship, we might see Billy come in on what might normally be a bullpen day for him, let him throw 20 to 30 pitches. But from to be able to – is he going to have a repeat performance? I just don't think that's in the cards right now. But I think if you call on him in that time of need, I know he'd probably be one to step out there and do what he could.
Don't want to have to do that, do you?
Don't want to have to do that, though.
Damon, your thoughts?
I think Billy actually played in the championship game Sunday last year, and he pitched after Tanner Hall. He pitched against Troy on that Thursday night game. I don't think he went as long as obviously Tanner Hall did. But Billy did pitch in that Sunday game. I remember that. He pitched like maybe it was like one inning. So I don't think they're opposed to doing it. And I do agree that the Sun Belt tournament is a lot harder on your pitching staff than the regional is. You know, because if Southern Miss were to lose today, they'd have to win three games in a row just to get to Sunday.
Right.
And then you get to Sunday, and then who in the heck are you throwing at that point?
Okay.
So I think it's just detrimental for Southern Miss to start the weekend off 2-0. But as you said, all these other teams are dealing with the same thing, and but it shows how scary the bats are, especially on Southern Miss's side of the bracket. You know, maybe a Troy or an App State against Southern Miss's real, you know, lower on the bullpen is a little bit more scary than Southern Miss's bats against somebody else's lower on the bullpen.
All right, I think I'm hearing music.
Okay.
That means we have to say goodbye. We'll be back, finish up this hour of the Super Talk Eagle Hour right after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank James Hutto, obviously, Athletic Director Jeremy McClain. I want to thank as well Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director Andrew Abity, sports writer for all the Pine Belt, and Daniel Stewart, who is still sitting here with us, former baseball player and our baseball analyst for the season. You know, one of the partnerships we're really very, very proud of is Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel, and they've come on board with the Eagle Hour a few months back and have been just a great partner and somebody that we really value. Had a couple of really great remotes down there, and Remy Johnson is the owner of that fine establishment. And, you know, Remy, the last time I think we had some legendary baseball coaches down there that had a really good time making fun of Kelly Santer. Do you recall that, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir. I sure do. It was beginning of baseball season.
That was a great day. We always enjoy very much coming to your place. Tell our listeners around the state, wherever they're tuned in a little bit today, about your business and all the great things that you do for your customers, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, here at Southern Equipment, our main part of our business is the service. We work on tractors and heavy equipment. We also supply, all make parts, whether it be used parts, rebuilt parts, or brand new parts. We also supply all of the consumables that, you know, your farmer or mechanic shops or whatever use every day, all the oils and grease and all that good stuff. So, and like I said, we also provide a rental service. We do rent our, we got a line of mini excavators, anywhere from 4,200-pound machines to 9,400-pound machine. And we do have, like, weekend rates and stuff that we were able to, you know, help folks out and everything. So,
yeah. Having spent a long time in the Mississippi Delta, I know that farm equipment just doesn't last forever. And you got to have a good source to get it repaired, because if your equipment's not working, you're not making any money. Isn't that the truth?
Well, and that's a fact. And it seems like I may have stated that before on the show that, you know, we look at it as if this man is using this tractor or tractors or even equipment, you know, to make a living. That's his livelihood. So if he's down, right, he's not making any money. So it's our job, and we take that with pride, you know, as far as keeping them up and going and as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir. How can people get in touch with you that may not be familiar with some of these important services you provide, Mr. Johnson? How could a man in need of your services reach you?
Well, there's several ways, of course. We do have a Facebook page at Southern Equipment and Parts. You could also call us at 601-651-4555 or visit our website at southernequipparts.com. And there's a contact information on the webpage.
Okay, now Luke Johnson always corrects me. You're not actually in Laurel. Where are you, sir?
Well, if you looked at the map, we're located right in the Calhoun community. And I'm hoping that we're not annexed into Laurel. I know that's kind of been a sore subject, but anyway. We won't get on that.
It's Calhoun. It's not So-So. He informs me of that as well. It's Calhoun.
That's correct. The Calhoun community right off of Highway 84.
Well, you're a great partner with us, and I want you to know how much we appreciate everything you do with us, sir. And we thank you for sharing some of your time with us today here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Absolutely. Thank you all for the invitation.
Yes, sir. All right. Remy Johnson, everybody. Southern Equipment and Parts. All right. I appreciate all of our great sponsors, and they make it possible for us to be here. Going to wrap this two-hour edition up here. I think we have a minute or so left. Go around the table here. Are you optimistic, Dima? You're looking for a Golden Eagle win here in a couple hours?
Well, I would first like some sugar or something, because I'm about to fall asleep. So I'd need something, some energy or something. But this game right here is wearing on me, but yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I like Southern Miss's chances. I mean, they weren't in a 30-inning affair yesterday. They're pretty rested. They're ready to play. They know what this means. You know, they're not. They know what this means, and I like that they're the home team, so they're going to have the last at bat. I would expect a very similar game to what you saw at the Pete. Two good teams competing, coming down to some important plays, and if I had to put money on it, I'd say Southern Miss gets to Saturday 2-0.
All right, Daniel.
Yeah, I agree. A win today is really important, because we get a rest tomorrow. If we can get this win today, get further in, you know, that's going to be, I think, the key to get our guys as much rest as possible. I'm probably not nervous today. I think Nico's going to have a great outing. I think the bats are going to wake up. We get past today, I'm really going to have to lean on Coach Ostrander's expertise to figure out how we're going to approach the pitchers that we throw up and run out there. So, but hey, if the bats stay lively and the bats stay awake and we can out-hit people, gosh, man, I don't care who we got on the mound.
And one thing to remember is this game means a lot to Troy. They're right on the bubble.
Right.
This would be a huge RPI win to win this game today.
I'm always nervous, but that's just me.
But you're packed.
Yeah, that's right.
You're packed.
That's
right. You can't be too nervous and anxious.
All right, that wraps it up. Demon, I'll be back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.